Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we'd like to know what's on your mind. We want to talk with you about it right now. The phone lines are open at 844-322-2742, and that, of course, as always, is good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. So if you have a Bible question or an issue you'd like to discuss, give us a call right now, because it is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher, and welcome back, my friend.
Well, thanks, Bob. It was nice to have a couple of days off, but it's awfully nice to be back in the studio with you talking about Jesus and the good news that he brought to us through his death, burial, and resurrection.
Indeed.
You know, for the last several weeks, we've been talking about how to get close to God and how important that is for people.
Yeah.
It's one of the questions that we're asked all the time. And I think every human being on this planet at some point in their lives wants to know how they can be close to God. And there are many ways that they try to get close to God. They go to religion and religious practices and rituals and those sort of things. And at the end of that, they're still as far away from God as they were when they first started. Dead works will not get you close to God. That takes the grace of God. The grace of God invites us to draw near. When we draw near through faith, we're made new. Christ comes to live inside of us. And not only do we have that closeness as far as location, that Christ is in us, we are in Christ, but we also have a closeness in terms of relationship. And that's what we see in the New Covenant, and that's what we see in several passages in the Gospels as well. For example, John 17, Jesus defines eternal life like this, that we should know God and the one whom he sent. That's what eternal life is. It's knowing God relationally from the heart. And we see it also in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 8, as the writer of Hebrews kind of retells the new covenant that Jeremiah had prophesied some hundreds of years prior to the time of Christ. And in this, he says this, and they will not teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. So what do we have in this new covenant that we live in today? We have a personal, intimate heart knowledge of God the Father. So there's a closeness that we have as far as location. God took us out of Adam. He placed us into Christ. He took us out of darkness. He placed us into light. He took us from death to life. That's what the grace of God does. We experience that through faith. Then once that transaction happens, God sends his Spirit to take up residence in us. So we are now in Christ. Christ is in us. So there's a closeness as far as location is concerned. You, Bob, you and I are in the studio, our Basic Gospel studios here in Lewisville, Texas. There's a closeness that we have due to location. But there's even a greater closeness that you and I share through friendship and through our relationship with Christ.
Indeed.
The fact that we are brothers in the Lord. That brings us close to one another in ways that are just incomprehensible. We can't really describe that closeness that you and I experience. Well, that's the closeness that we have with the Lord. One in location, one in relationship. Now, it doesn't get any better than that. Now, once you're in relationship with the Lord, you're never going to be out of relationship with the Lord. He is constantly going to be revealing himself to you. So you're going to continually be growing in the grace of God and growing in your knowledge of Jesus Christ. So that heart relationship will just expand to every aspect of who you are as a human being. So do you want to get close to God? It is by grace through faith. When that happens, you're close to him in location, but even more so and even more important, you're close to him because of relationship, your knowledge of God the Father. You are known by him and you know him. That's what it means to be close to the Lord.
Indeed. Thanks for those thoughts, Bob, and it's good to be in the studio with you and good to have that relationship between you and me and the Lord Jesus Christ. So thanks for reminding me of that, and it is a wonderful reminder. Thank you, my friend. 844-322-2742. That is the number to dial if you live in the U.S. or Canada. We would love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Give us a call if you have something you'd like to talk about, a Bible question, or if you're going through something in life that's troubling to you and would like to have some guidance. Well, this is a good opportunity to call and speak directly with us right here at Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher is back. My name is Bob Davis, and we're glad that you're with us, friends. Once again, that phone number, 844-322-2742. Bob, let's talk just a little bit about what you and Andrew are going to be doing in the middle of October, 15th through the 17th, United.
October 15th through the 17th. Well, the first day we're going to be celebrating my birthday. That is my birthday that Friday. But we're really not going to be celebrating it there. We're going to be talking about the good news of Jesus Christ, this grace of God that we experience through faith in the Lord. And the closeness, the union that we have with Christ and the union that we have one with another. This is truly life-changing stuff. This is really the message. And when you come to a conference like this, you're going to get the whole picture. Oftentimes we get questions on the radio broadcast about various Bible passages because somebody doesn't know where it fits into the broader picture, the big picture of this gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, a conference like this will give you that big picture, and as you see it, you'll have all these aha moments. Oh, that's where that passage fits. Oh, that's the answer to that question that I had about that particular passage. And things will just start clicking. Everything will just line up for you, and you will rejoice even more about this gospel that has saved you through faith in Christ. So come be a part of it. Don't miss the United Conference, October 15th through the 17th.
And, of course, the information is available at basicgospel.net/united. As Bob said, information and registration now open. Again, basicgospel.net/united. Once again, the phone number, 844-322-2742, good in the U.S. and Canada. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and talk with David. Hi, David. You're on the air.
Hey, David.
Hey, gentlemen. Good afternoon.
Hi there.
Well, good afternoon to you.
Okay. Here you go. What does it mean to obey God? Okay. Now, there are scriptures in the Bible, and you know, people can take those out of context and so on, you know. But what does it actually mean to obey God?
Well, David, it means to take him at his word. So obedience is baked into faith. So when we take God at his word that Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried, and on the third day he was raised to life, when we believe that, we are being obedient to the gospel. We are believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's what it means to obey. It means to believe from the heart.
So that's synonymous with believe and obey.
Absolutely. They're part of the same coin. So we believe God, and then the obedience is living that faith out in day-to-day life. So it starts with the love of God for us. We respond to that love of God through faith. That results in dependence upon God, which results in obedience to God, and that's obedience from the heart. So obedience isn't something that we do out of obligation. It's the byproduct of our relationship with the Lord. We know that he loves us. We know that he cares for us. So when he says that you should, for example, not give any opportunity for the flesh, he's not doing that to test us. He's saying that to love us. So when we understand that he loves us, we're dependent upon him, then it just makes sense to say, hey, I don't want to put myself in a position where I'm going to give opportunity to the flesh. There's another passage, for example, don't be unequally yoked. So there's a lot of people that are being unequally yoked in marriage or in partnerships. And when we read that and understand, well, wait a minute, God loves us, he cares for us, and we respond to that love, then it just makes sense. He's saying this for our benefit, for our good, for our well-being. So obedience is kind of the byproduct of our dependency upon Jesus, which results from believing his love for us.
Wow. And that brings us to get together, to get to know him better, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, wow. Yes.
Well, we like the getting together part. You can come and get together with us in middle October. We'd love to see you, David.
Yeah, I would like to be out there, but I got my wife, we're having a honeymoon down in Florida.
Oh, you don't want to miss that.
Yeah, I know. So I'd like to be out there, but like I said, we planned on this trip for a long time, and hopefully Disney World will be open.
Well, that's right. There's a lot of uncertainty out there as far as COVID is concerned and all of that. So we'll just have to trust, and we pray you have a great time down there.
Yes, indeed.
All right. Thank you. If I can make it, brothers, I'll be there.
Awesome. We'll love to see you. Thanks, David.
Thanks, David. Good to hear from you. 844-322-2742. We have an open line for you right now, as we did for David, and we'd love to hear your question or your particular issue. Again, 844-322-2742. Bob, we had this question that came in by email. Kim says, it seems like so many Christians, mostly those who claim grace but live under the law, spend so much time focusing on sin, other people's sin. They feel the need to point out or confront people about their sin, or the need to shun people who they feel are sinners. They seem to miss the all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God part of that. I understand that it doesn't make sense to sin based on who we are, but that doesn't change the fact that we do. So why did Jesus say to the woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more? I don't see how that is possible. That's from Kim by email.
Well, that's a great question, and I think we need to see sin from two different vantage points. One, there's the sin of unbelief, and John really speaks of that in his entire gospel account, and that's really what he's speaking to in his letters as well, this sin of unbelief. That is the root of all sin. And Jesus said, I'm going to send the Spirit. When the Spirit comes, he's going to convict the world wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment. Wrong about sin because they do not believe in me. So what is the root of sin? What is the real sin that keeps us separated from God? It is unbelief in Jesus. Well, when we turn to Jesus and receive him, that sin of unbelief, is transformed. We are transformed. We go from unbelievers to believers in Jesus. So from that point, we're never going to live again as an unbeliever. Now, we may choose the desires of the flesh, or we may give in to the temptations of this world, and those things are sins, but we're doing it as a believer in Christ. So when Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more, I think he was speaking to that. No longer live in unbelief. Recognize that life is found in Jesus, not out here in the things of this world.
Sure.
So I think that's something that we need to really understand. And when we do, things start to make sense. Things start to fall in place for us. So that's what he was saying. Also, it just makes sense. The consequences of sin are not good. There's nothing good that comes from sins that we commit. Baked into every sin is some consequence. I was talking to a guy not too long ago, and he's experiencing some of those consequences. And he said, I'm just reaping what I've sown for many, many years. And he said, those choices that I made, baked into those choices were these consequences. So it just makes sense for Jesus to say, I don't want you to experience those consequences. But the way you break free from it is first having your heart turn from unbelief to belief in Jesus. And then as you trust and walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for that answer, Kim. Hope that's a help to you. Once again, plenty of time on the clock, plenty of open lines. We'd love to hear from you at 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for being with us, friends. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. And Bob, a question from Ed by YouTube. How can Jesus breathe the Holy Spirit into the disciples in John 20, verses 22 through 23, when it is not yet the Pentecost, and he did not ascend to heaven yet? Also, what is the meaning that the disciples can forgive the sins of any and can withhold forgiveness when they want?
Well, those are great questions, and that is a very troubling passage in John. The Catholics have taken that to give power to the priesthood, and that's kind of the place where they turn and say, hey, you need to come to a priest, confess that sin to a priest, and if he so chooses, he can absolve you of that sin and give you forgiveness. So that plays heavily into Catholic teaching, Catholic doctrine, Catholic tradition. Yeah. But I think what Jesus was doing was simply preparing his disciples for what was up ahead at Pentecost, that they were going to receive power from on high, and through that power they were going to be witnesses around the world, first in Jerusalem, then Judea, and then Israel, and then to all regions around. So it was a preparation. It was a statement of preparation for the disciples, Jesus simply breathing on them and preparing them for what was up ahead. Now, as far as forgiving or not forgiving, really what Jesus was doing was giving them the power to proclaim the good news of Jesus. And that good news has the power to forgive. And that's simply what he's saying here. Now, it's kind of interesting when you read the original Greek in this passage, it reads a little differently than what we see in the passage. So he says, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. And if you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld. Now, this second phrase, if you withhold forgiveness from anyone, that word forgiveness is not in the original Greek. That's not what the Greek says. It just says, if you retain, it is retained. That's what those words mean. So I think he's really just giving them the power of the gospel, the authority to take the gospel out there in the world and let the gospel do its work. Some will receive, some will reject. Those who receive, their hearts have been humbled, their hearts have been softened by life, by whatever circumstances they've been through, and they are ripe to receive the good news of Jesus. If they reject, it's because they have a hardness of heart, and they don't want to know God. They don't want to experience forgiveness. So I think Jesus is just simply giving the apostles the authority to carry out their ministry. Mm-hmm. I don't think we need to make it any more complicated than that. I think if we try to complicate it, I think that's where we're going to get into a lot of problems, a lot of misinterpretation, a lot of misinformation will go out there. Let's just look at that and say, hey, Jesus was preparing the apostles for their work of ministry, mm-hmm. which was significant. They were going to be the receivers of the explanation of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. They were given the task of presenting that to people out there in the world, and they were given the authority to do so. So their work was significant. We live by the foundation of the gospel, Jesus Christ himself, and the words of these apostles. So this was just a passage preparing them for that, giving them the authority to take the message out there in the world. And by the way, we have that same authority to take the good news as ministers of reconciliation, as ministers of the new covenant, out there and offer life and forgiveness to anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord.
And that is good news. John, thanks for the question. Good to hear from you, brother. And Bob from Missoula, Montana, question from Ellie, says, as Gentile Christians living under the new covenant, how are we to honor the day of rest? What does it mean to keep it holy, and should Saturday or Sunday be any different than any other day besides gathering when other believers do as well for worship? Colossians 2:16 is brought to mind, but I'm slightly confused as to how the Sabbath is a shadow of things to come. Thank you so much for your ministry.
Well, the entire law is a shadow of things to come. The writer of Hebrews couches it in those terms in Hebrews chapter 10. When he is comparing the sacrificial system of the old covenant with the once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So that was an annual reminder of sin. It was a foreshadowing of what was going to happen when Jesus came, when he would take away sin once and for all. So he says the entire law was a shadow of what was to come, not the realities themselves. So the fourth commandment is the commandment to honor the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. That was a part of the law. That was the fourth commandment written on those tablets of stone. So if the law is a shadow, then that commandment was a shadow of the Sabbath rest that we would experience through faith in Jesus Christ. So the writer of Hebrews, again, talks about that extensively in his letter. Chapters 3 and 4 really center on the rest that we experience. And he says, for those who have believed, enter that rest. So what rest is he talking about? Well, the rest that fourth commandment foreshadowed or was a shadow of. So that fourth commandment is not the reality. That was simply a finger pointing forward to what we would experience in Christ. Well, now that we're in Christ, we experience this rest every single day. So I'm resting in the finished work of Jesus on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'm resting in his finished work every single day. I am resting in the truth that Jesus is alive, living in me. There's nothing that I need to do to make that happen. There's nothing that I need to do to bring about more forgiveness into my life. I have received all the forgiveness that God wants to give me, or all the forgiveness that I need for every one of my sins. That's enough. So I rest in that. I believe it, and I say thank you. So we enter into that rest by faith. That law that says keep the Sabbath day holy was simply a shadow of what we experience every single day through faith in Jesus.
In the final minute, Carlos would like to know, how do I live in a life of obedience to Jesus?
Well, it's all about trust. Trust is what it means to live in obedience to Jesus. Trusting him day in and day out. Trusting the truth that he took away your sins once and for all, and that in him you are a forgiven person. Trusting that he's alive, living in you. Trusting the fact that you have been made righteous in his sight. Trusting the fact that his spirit is living in you, leading you every step of the way. So just keep your eyes on Jesus and allow him to do his work in and through you. That's what it means to live in obedience to Jesus Christ, simply walking by grace through faith in him every single day.
Boy, we love hearing from our listeners, and thanks to each of you for posing wonderful questions for Bob to answer today, and what a blessing you are to us. Well, friends, that's it for another edition of Basic Gospel. Remember, it is because of you that we are here every weekday bringing you the good news of the gospel of grace in Jesus Christ. And of course, we need your help to ensure that the message continues on the air and online. You can donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net. And when you do, request your copy of Andrew's excellent 8-message video series called Clean and Close. We're going to offer that to our donors for another day or so, so be sure to take advantage of that. Again, you can do that by going to basicgospel.net and making your contribution to support the message of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ on Basic Gospel. I want to remind you also that the listener line is always open for those of you who can't make it, make a call during the live broadcast. If you have questions about a Bible passage or about the Christian life in general, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your cordial invitation to join us again tomorrow, same time, for Basic Gospel. See you then. Bye-bye.